Hi, this is Heaton Cha.
And this is Steli Efti.
With the Startup Chat.
And in today's episode, we're going to talk about fundraising advice that you typically don't hear about in public very often.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
So, well, at least we're going to attempt to share some fundraising and investor advice that is very uncommon to be shared.
So, Steli, let's start with some context. So, how many people do you talk to on, let's say, a monthly basis about fundraising, like entrepreneurs that are fundraising?
Yeah, it fluctuates. But I would say at least 5 to 10.
Okay, cool. I'm about double that. So I'll be at about 10 to 20 easy in most months. Right now, December, since no one's fundraising, obviously it's a lot lower.
Yeah.
But like generally speaking, I'm about double that. So I just want to give people context that between Steli and I, we're having almost like, I would say 40, 50 conversations, right? Roughly.
Yeah.
With founders that are trying to raise money or thinking about raising money. And I think I love this topic. I'm excited to talk about it with you, Steli, because like, there's probably so much advice we give that's either unorthodox or just most people haven't read or haven't thought about. So yeah, I mean, are we just going to do rapid fire like a bunch of these
just,
or what?
Let's just rapid fire this.
All right, go for it.
We'll challenge each other with coming up with things that we think are not common fundraising advice.
Sounds good.
Here's my number one uncommon fundraising advice, I think, or investment advice. Which is be careful of overvaluing domain expertise in your investor. Especially the earlier you are as a startup, the less I think that matters, or at least it doesn't matter as much as you think.
Yeah, I love this. But just to pause real quick right there, the worst thing I hear related to this is, Heaton, who do you think would be a good investor for my marketing tool, right? Or who would be a good investor that invests in marketing tools? Right? That's like the most it's probably the most common thing I hear when it comes to this.
Why don't you like it?
I don't know who invests in marketing. I don't know. They all do. Like if you go look at most portfolios, they get diversified over time. I mean, this is like a pet peeve of mine. Like no offense to anybody out there that might be, you know, an investor that's focused, but like even like a mobile focus, right? Like it only makes sense to have a mobile focus fund for a short period of time, I would say. Because eventually like everything's everything. Right. So you just have a fund.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And I get there's some B2B focus, consumer focus, but those are big categories, right? Like and really wide. That's cool. But like outside of that, I feel like the depth, health is also one where it's cool. But like in general, on the flip side, right? Like it's not very common to see things like marketing or sales or all that and have an investor in a lot of them because oftentimes a lot of them are competing with each other.
The other thing is that the one reason why I don't think that a lot of entrepreneurs are overvaluing this, especially in the early stages. Now, this is different. If you're Series B, Series C, if you are product market fit, you're growing, you're looking for scale, it might make sense to go really and find some investors that you know can get you to this very next strategic step because they've done it multiple times. But when you're just starting out, you don't fucking know if what you're starting out will end up being what you really truly are, and most likely you won't. So you go and bring somebody that's a super hyper ninja domain expert in this really small niche that you're trying to attack, and 6 months down the line, you've changed what you're doing into an area where now this investor brings zero value. And that doesn't mean that they can't be a good investor. It just means that you need to be careful to not overvalue that domain expertise and think, oh, this investor is going to be great because they have done this mobile gaming ad network in, you know, growing markets in Africa before. And we're trying to do something similar. So they're going to be amazing. They're going to be a game changer for us. And then 6 months down the line, you're like, oh, we've completely changed and now we're doing this totally different thing. And what do you do now with this massive domain expertise of this investor's? It's kind of going to be useless to you. And the question is, did you give them too much equity? Did you put in too much hope? Well, a lot of times there's a mismatch down the line. Not to say you shouldn't bring people in as investors that have domain expertise. Don't overvalue it when you're early because you don't know if you're going to really need it half a year or a year down the line.
Yeah, and that can even bias what you end up building, what you learn, because this investor has so much domain expertise. They're always going to want you to build that. Right. So then the relationship won't be as like fruitful because they might even be a bad investor for you if you completely change direction.
Exactly. All right. What is other unusual fundraising advice that we give, or investor advice that we give to people that, I mean, there's a lot. So just in general, for people that are interested in this topic, there's a shit ton of content out there. And I think a lot of really good content. I don't know what I would advise somebody to do. I mean, probably going to Hacker News and search.
Yeah, I think this is a great tip. So we can just riff on how do you get information about this, yeah. Right? Because like just in general, uncommon or not, I feel like founders are not informed. So that's the problem, right? Yep. Uncommon thing is go inform yourself, because most of you guys, you're not informed when I'm talking to you, right? But anyways, one thing I would say is like venturehacks.com is still, even though it's like 10 years old now, like some of the content and stuff like that, it's still an amazing resource for anything fundraising.
Yeah.
Anything funding even.
I would say everything that YC has put out there. So there's a lot, I think on YouTube, a lot of videos. Of YC startups, of startup school events, of the Stanford class that Y Combinator has put together. There's a lot of fundraising advice coming out of the Y Combinator ecosystem that's really, really solid and very real. So there's a lot of good stuff there. And you can even go to Hacker News and use search to type in some like common keywords like fundraising advice, seed round advice, and you'll see some articles that were popular. You'll also see the discussions that usually are even more insightful than the article itself. So I think that's just a really good source to go and get good information, good content on this subject.
Yep, I agree. And then there's just a ton of entrepreneurs. So there's an entrepreneur named Elad Gil. I remember from back in the day, I think he still has a blog. I don't remember what the domain is, but he had a lot of great thoughts on fundraising, seed round stages, and all kinds of stuff. So I'd go read some of that. That's just an uncommon one to keep with the uncommon theme.
Yeah, I like that.
Any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, not on the information one.
Sure.
I do think that those are really good ones. The next one that I'll throw out there is kind of uncommon fundraising advice that's a little bit random is like how to get in touch with investors that you don't already know or have a relationship with, right? There's a lot of content out there on how smart it is to build these relationships, build them early, long term, so when you need them, all that good stuff. But a lot of times when people are trying to get in touch with an investor, they might not have a prior relationship with them. One of the best ways to do that, and one of the ways that's so easy and simple in my mind, and I've seen a lot of people execute very successfully, but it seems very uncommon, probably because it's just common sense, is that you don't go direct, you don't cold email the investor. You don't necessarily have to go to, you know, where they live and wait inside their house or firm to whatever, shake their hand or do any crazy stunt. All you have to do is go and look up the portfolio they've invested in, look at the startups that are most similar to yours or that are more early stage maybe, and send an email to those startups, to the founders of those companies and go, hey, I'm doing something similar. I'm in this area. I'm currently fundraising. You know, I'd highly appreciate just 10 minutes on a call to ask you some very specific question, get some advice from you. And as we've said many times before, and as this podcast is a living manifestation of, founders love to help other founders, and even very busy founders have an incredibly hard time not to help others.
Absolutely. Other founders,
right? It's just one of these things. Somebody asks me for help and they're a founder. It's so hard for me to say no. So a lot of times these founders will take a 10-minute call just because they remember a time where they needed some other founders 10-minute
call. That's exactly right. Right? We've all been helped.
We've all been helped. So we're just going to want to pay it forward and go, all right, I'll take a quick call and try to help you. And on that call, you ask for some advice and you look for clues and opportunities and you'll ask for honesty. And if at the end of the call, if you go, hey, just honestly, what do you think on a scale from 1 to 10? How big are my chances of really raising money right now? Am I too early? Am I missing something? A founder will tell you, maybe even ever so slightly or nicely, but they'll tell you if they are excited about it. And if they think, you know what? You're doing well. I think that you have all the things necessary to make this happen. Then just ask them flat out, hey, I saw that this investor's invested in your company. Has your experience been good? Would you feel comfortable? Do you think we might be a good fit? And would you be comfortable to make an introduction? And this may work out or may not work out. This may work out on the first call. Or what you do is you start building a relationship with that founder. And 2-3 months down the line, as you give constant updates, if you show progression, then when you ask for an introduction, the founder is going to be comfortable. But getting to a founder is very easy, and then getting from the founder to the investor is a much easier feat than going strictly and directly to the founder, to the investor cold. So this is kind of an uncommon way to do it, but it seems the most common sense way and the easiest way to go get to the investor in a kind of two-step process.
Well, I mean, it's one of the easiest things you can do is make friends with other founders.
Yes.
Right? Even if they're ahead of you or whatever. I love what you always say about, you know, focus on people two steps ahead of you or whatever, you know, when you're looking for advice and stuff like that. This is classic, right? This is great. Like if they've already got investors there and you don't, well, they're a couple steps ahead of you. Perfect. Right. I'm sure if you think those investors would be a good fit, they're the best channel in. But my advice for everybody around this would be like, just start early. I love it when entrepreneurs email me like even before they're on Product Hunt. I'll tell you the truth. Because then I know most people haven't seen them and it makes me feel special. Mm. And otherwise it's like, I know you're emailing like 50 founders. Come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I prefer it earlier, at least in my case. And I think a lot of other founders, if it's early, but yet you have something before you go do all this stuff, it just gets me into your story early. And that actually riffs into the next uncommon thing I think I'm going to say, which is the whole time when you're, you know, pitching and you have a deck and you're talking to investors, like your biggest tool is yourself and your own story. And all this stuff about like these dry, like step-by-step pitches covering all these things, like it's cool, like I get it, but like you have to have those components. But even when I see things like problem written on a slide or solution written on a slide or market written on a slide, I'm like, well, what are you doing? Like you're just ruining your story. Like you have a story, you're a person. Like what's your story? Why are you doing this? Like what's going on, right? Like what's next? Like why are you the team and the people the back? Because at the earliest stages, that's all you got.
Yeah.
Is the people, what you're doing, right? And the team you've built and what you've done with it so far.
I love that. It's like watching a movie and they would say, act one, establish the hero.
Yeah. Right? I love it.
Act two, now the hero needs to face adversity. Like that would take you out of the fucking movie, right? It takes you out of the story. So it's kind of funny to be calling these things the problem, right? It just kind of takes you out of whatever you're trying to make the investor feel there. So I love that. I think that... you know, let me add some more on, and we're just going to be piling them on in all directions as this is just an attempt to be uncommon in the type of advice that we give.
Yeah.
I think that one piece of advice, I don't even know if it's uncommon, but I don't think I ever read about it. And I've read a bunch of fundraising advice and articles over the years.
You haven't. There's none out there.
Exactly. It's just a million of them. But what I would give the listeners advice is, it's okay to say unpopular things, and it's okay to push back. So again, don't
give an example. Give an example. So, I think this one needs an example.
I think what I really want to say is, don't optimize for the yes. Right. Don't optimize to avoid the no.
Okay.
So when you talk to investors, don't make a pitch and don't make a conversation that is optimized to avoid confrontation or to avoid them telling you that they don't like something. Instead of doing that, optimize to get the person that really believes in you, really believes in what you're trying to do, to really get excited about you. So what I mean by that is that a lot of times, you know, founders will sit down and they'll talk to an investor and let's say we're trying to do a marketplace thing, right?
Yep.
We're trying to build a marketplace in some area. And then the investor says, you know what? This marketplace thing, it's really tough. Have you thought about a mobile focus? Maybe you should be a mobile platform more because I see this and this opportunity. I think you guys really need to be a mobile platform, a mobile app and not a marketplace, right? As a weird example here. A lot of times founders' response to this, independently from what they truly believe or think about it, is... yeah, that's not a bad idea. I think we'd be open to it. They're just going to say yes to everything the investor will say, right? In an attempt to keep the investor's interest and in an attempt to keep the conversation positive and in an attempt to avoid confrontation.
But they don't know why the investor's asking. The investor could be asking because they believe it. They could be talking about it because they want to know what you're going to say and what your opinion is. They might be trying to see if you can focus or you're focused or not.
Yeah, who knows?
There's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of reasons.
Don't answer it thinking they want to hear yes.
Don't
answer it with the truth. Answer it with how you really feel about it, because they're backing you for your opinion about the market.
And that's
not theirs.
Yeah, and again, you know, if you think it's a horrible idea, then instead of just saying, oh, yeah, we'd be open to it. It is a much better question to ask, why do you think we should do this? Or we have concern A, B, and C. How do you think about those concerns? Like, because that way, number one, either you're going to get educated and learn something that you haven't thought through, and maybe mobile is a good idea for you, or you'll find a bias or an opinion about the investor that you really dislike or is really not aligned with what you're trying to do. Or you're going to find out that whenever you say no to the investor, they're becoming a douchebag. Or you'll find out that, you know, when you say no to them, they're really awesome and they were just testing you. There's no real reason behind it. There's a world of things to learn when you are real and authentic and you just go, well, that makes no sense. Can you explain why you would want us to do this? Versus just going, yeah, of course, we're open to everything. Of course, yeah, we'd like that. Oh, of course, if you investor think this is an exciting idea, yes, let us say yes in order to keep you happy and keep the hope alive that you're going to give us money.
Yeah, it's just back to the don't be a yes man or a yes woman, right? Like, it's just not, not right. Yeah, it's not going to get you what you want in this scenario for sure.
It is not. It's not going to get you their money. Like, weirdly enough, if you just say yes to everything they say, this is not a good strategy to get their money. It's going to make it more and more unlikely with every yes to get their money, which is kind of weird, but it's the reality. So make sure that you look them eye to eye. Make sure that when they say things that don't quite make sense to you or when they bring up topics that you don't fully understand, make sure to not just pretend everything makes sense and everything is perfect. Bring things up. Hey, can you repeat this? Can you explain this to me, dear investor? Can you tell me why you would want to do this? We so far have not been excited about this because of reason A, B, and C. Do you think these reasons are valid? Do you think we're missing something? Like, have real conversations. Don't just try to optimize to avoid any confrontation or no. And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, is this such uncommon advice? It shouldn't be. But then, is this common practice? For sure not, right? It's for sure not common
practice. It's not common practice. It's advice from us, definitely not common. We can't say this one enough. It's like, say what you really feel in the right way or try to understand why they're saying what they're saying, which is probably even better. So,
What else do we have in terms of uncommon advice on fundraising?
I have a pet peeve. And the pet peeve is that when people say, oh, you know, I haven't been able to work on my product or my business because I've been out fundraising.
Mm.
Right. And even that terminology of I'm out fundraising, it's like, oh, you're out of where? Right. Like your office? Oh, okay. I mean, you have other meetings where you go out of the office too, right? So it's like, it's kind of like the way I think about it is like your job, your number one job is to make sure the business has money so you can pay people. Right. And so you can make things and do things. Otherwise, you know, you don't get to survive. So it's actually a high priority job, especially if you're the founder, especially if you're the CEO. And you got to do it regardless. And if your business is going to be held up every time you're fundraising, then you're not doing the right thing for your business. So it's like the thing that I see so many people over and over and over again, like start believing. And it's just repeated from founder to founder. So every time I hear it, I'm like, wait, hold on. Wait, stop. Take a deep breath. This is not that bad. You don't need to stop everything you're doing just to do this, right? You need to figure out how to balance everything. Because like even the job of running a company is about balancing things.
I like that. Let me add to it, although to a certain degree, I'm disagreeing with you as well, depending on how you would interpret what you just said. But I think we're actually on the same page.
I'm good.
Uncommon advice here is that if you are a founding team, don't go raise money together. Because it is a full-time job. So if you feel the need with the entire startup team to be going to all these investor meetings and all the follow-up meetings and everything, then yes, you're gonna have to say we haven't accomplished anything because we are fundraising. But that's actually pretty stupid to do. Like you want in your team or in your founding team to have one person that's fundraising and the other person that's, you know, building product, doing marketing, getting user acquisition, whatever the hell it is that the business, whatever the other things are that the business has as a priority to progress and move forward. So that you're able to, while you're fundraising, still progress the business or the product in meaningful ways. The reason why a lot of startups don't do this and why it's uncommon is that there's two reasons. Number one, they don't quite fully 100% trust just this one person. So they want to also be there to hear everything that's being said. And that's a bad thing. If you don't trust your the co-founder or somebody in the business to do this, and everybody needs to be involved, that points to a problem in the team. And the other reason why they want it is because it kind of, at least if you haven't done it before, it kind of seems like a sexy thing to do. Of course, you want to meet like this big term, like awesome investor that's famous. Like just everybody wants to go to this big VC firm that's legendary and like sit in their hallway and go into their, you know, partner meeting room. But that's bullshit. Like you're not here for fame. You're not here. This is not like a Silicon Valley is not some kind of like an amusement park for young budding entrepreneurs. You need to push the business forward, and maybe it would be cool to be there, but cool is not what should be a priority. So when you fundraise, have somebody that's doing this as a full-time job and have everybody